Hello, everyone, and welcome back to BoJack HorsePod presents Tuca and Bird Pod. That's right, we're back, baby. Today, we will be talking about season 3, episode 1 of Tuca and Birdie, Leveling Up. I'm, of course, Kirsten McInnes, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
We back, baby. I'm so excited we're back to talk about this. It's been such a long time. So happy to be back with our girls. So happy to be back with you. A perfect moment.
Yes, literally just so necessary. We took, I think, longer of a break than what we intended, but
definitely.
You know, we stopped in May. You were working on your comprehensive exams for your PhD, so you needed that time to prep. You had like 10 to 12 hours a week of study groups. Correct. In addition to working full-time.
And it's over.
And Ooh. Then summer turned into me having like 5 podcasts a week every week minimum. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, just better for everyone to take a little break. But we're back.
We're back. And I moved across the country.
Yeah, we're back, but also in a very real way, further apart than ever before.
But also, first episode of Bird Pod on the main feed from our new homes. We're in totally different places.
That's true. We have both moved.
Yes. Forgot that in our life update.
Yeah. So, listen, a lot has changed. A lot is going on. But we do love all of the horse girls and bird boys so much. And we're sorry that we were gone. And we're back. We don't know exactly what day we're going to release this on. So we're sorry about that. But we want to make sure that when we're putting out these last 10 episodes, that you're getting all 10 weeks in a row, no breaks, finishing Tuca and Birdie, and then moving on to our next adventure. Ooh. As a community.
Yes. Yes. Very excited. Very excited to knock these out. But yes, I agree. I think it would be insufferable if we were like, we said we were back, but we need a break and you have more things coming up. So yes, I think this is good. And people will always know when it was recorded. Thanks to our segment.
We're going to have to cut, I guess, the holidays, because we don't know what day we're going to record it on. So we won't be able to say what day it is.
Yeah, true.
But that's okay. End of an era.
Yeah. We can give people the time.
Yeah, well, should we tell them what time it is right now?
I think Brian Scally should ask the question.
What time is it?
Thanks, Scally. So it is Sunday, October 15th, 2023. It is 11:16 a.m. in the Pacific time zone where I am alone. It is 2:16 p.m. in New York. 3:16 p.m. for Lindsay in the Atlantic time zone, 7:16 p.m. in London, and 2:16 a.m. on October 16th in Hong Kong. And that's what time it is right now.
Incredible. We're back for real.
It's real. Now, can we talk about how difficult it is to find Tuca and Birdie in a post Tuca and Birdie getting canceled world?
Yeah, honest to God. Like, if any, we know many of our horse girls and bird boys are in Canada, and it is not easy to find this if they want to watch along. Very challenging.
It's, yeah, it is available in America on Max.
Mm-hmm.
But
if you have an Adult Swim subscription, apparently, you can see it here. But we were only able to find season 3, episode 6 most cable packages.
And that's what they say. If you have Adult Swim, you'll be able to watch it. But then I have Stacked on my Amazon Prime, which includes Adult Swim. And it only had season 3, episode 6. Every other episode was unavailable. So I don't know what's happening. I don't know why they are censoring Tuca and Birdie. It's not okay. No. Lisa Honnewald's work does not deserve this.
Agreed.
But we persevered. Nevertheless, we persisted. And we're here. We were both able to watch the episode. Me, for the second time. I have watched all of season 3 already. But don't worry, I don't remember like the details from episode to episode. So you still won't get spoiled. And
I had watched season 3, episode 1 and 2, probably like back in May, possibly, and then forgot everything immediately. So rewatched them in anticipation of today. And yeah, I've now seen through 4 episodes of season 3.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah,
It's season 4.
If only. We wish there was a season 4. Yeah, so what was your overall thoughts on this episode, Lindsay?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. Felt like a good like premiere reset. I liked how we last saw things with the flood, I guess. I'd kind of forgotten where we left things off. And I feel like this is a good like picking up from here. We're seeing what's going on with the house. We now understand all that. And I think it's a big Tuca episode. And I think we've talked about that before, how I think Tuca can sometimes be underserved and maybe Birdie gets more complex storyline. So I like this for her.
Yeah, they're definitely moving in a good direction for Tuca, I feel. And the description for this episode is Tuca's got a new job and love interest, Speckle's making a big splash at work, and Birdie's barely treading water until she has the chance to prove herself.
I feel like the flood episode was such a long time ago.
It's literally Tuca's another sadness planet. Propelling them. Oh, yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
It was good, though. I freaking love this show. So, should we just jump into it?
Let's do it.
So, as we said in the description, Tuca has a new job. She's a tour guide. She gives tours of Birdtown on these duck boat things, which are alive and sentient, but are also inflatable boats.
Yes. Yeah, and she's really basing the tour on her life, where she's just like, yeah, there was my apartment where I used to give out haircuts and such, unsolicited haircut specifically.
I would not like to receive an unsolicited haircut,
especially if you ended up with bangs.
Yeah, I mean I don't know if you know this about me, but I had bangs for a long time.
I did not know that about you.
A long, long, long time. I was the front bangs, like,
wow, you can't even picture it, even though you're doing it.
Well, it's not working very well, and I always forget that it's reversed on Zoom, so I'm like trying to judge it and it doesn't work. I had front bangs from probably grade 8, grade 9 through high school.
Wow.
Maybe through first year university. It was a long time.
Wow.
And then I tried to get bangs again, and my hairdresser was like, no. Because I really don't have like a big enough forehead for it.
You could join the bang boat.
I could join the bang boat. No big deal. But basically, yeah, Birdtown is like half of it is still flooded and kind of like a Venice type situation. But then also some parts are very dry, which I found interesting.
Yes, it seems to be the remnants of the flood, but it has not been equally distributed.
Yeah, like if you go to their apartment building, there's now like a barricade up and it's fine and everything looks normal. But yet large swaths are underwater.
Travel around by weird duck boat.
Now, if you were a tourist and someone took you on a tour and they went into their best friend's apartment to hang out for a while, how would you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. I feel like that would be weird, right? But maybe more fun than the tour.
Super weird that Tuca takes him into Birdie's apartment. But Birdie and Speckle are back in their apartment and they have their really pretty doorknob on their apartment door. Yes.
Very cute. Yes, we also passed over the fact that we opened up and Tuca is at a gentleman friend's house and she says, love you.
Yes. We will get to that. Don't worry.
Don't worry. I have a plan.
But she seems to be in a serious situation.
Yes.
Birdie is setting up Sweet Beaks on Yak to get reviews. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a little play on Yelp, but
yes, one stop shop for telling businesses how much you love them. Famously, what Yelp is for.
In a hilarious turn of events, everyone is asking to see pictures of feet.
I agree with the feet guy.
And Speckle also is like, I don't understand why Speckle's doing physical comedy. Like, is he just trying to get the people out of the apartment? Like,
I don't know. I didn't think so, because Tuca's like, I specifically told you not to be here. And he's like, what people? Like, I don't know. It's some weird bit that he's doing. It's very strange.
Yeah, I don't get it. And Tuca's like, oh, I like my joke to be more sophisticated, and then farts on the way out and laughs. So A plus over here.
Yeah, so I did laugh a lot. I had kind of forgotten about the speckle picture of himself on the wall.
How could you ever
still there.
Forget? I could never forget.
It's so good.
Wow, how dare you? So then we find out that Speckle and Birdie have to go because it is time for the ribbon cutting. And we go to the ruins of the house that Speckle had been building for them that the flood destroyed. And Speckle has sold the land back to the city and they've approved his proposal to put affordable housing on it.
Yes, the flood has exacerbated the housing crisis and we need affordable housing. But also, I think one of my favorite lines of the entire episode is when Birdie's like, you know what happens when a ribbon doesn't get cut before construction? And Speckle's like, ghosts happen, Birdie. Mean ones.
Ghosts. I mean, I would want ghosts. I like ghosts. I'm pro-ghost.
What about mean ghosts?
I mean, how mean could they really be?
I don't know. They're pretty upset about this lack of ribbon cutting.
Well, I would be too. They deserve to have their ribbon cut, obviously. Mm-hmm. I do like that they're leaning into like housing inequality. I feel like that's just, this obviously came out, what, a year, 2 years ago? But
so, yeah.
Very real in a lot of lives. They even go so far as having the kind of tent city situation and then mm-hmm. a little NIMBY butthead in their apartment.
Mm-hmm. His tents are so unsightly.
Literally, it's like, what are you doing? And then the vulture guy who had to move out when the apartment building was getting gentrified is living in a tent, but he then finds out that he is getting a settlement for when a bus ran over his penis, which do vultures have penises? Most birds don't have penises.
I doubt it.
Vultures have penises. Yeah, it seems they don't.
That tracks.
So, just another mystery about the animals in this
animal
universe.
Kingdom. Oh my god!
But it's fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah, he takes his settlement money and he's gonna get into this fancy apartment building.
Yeah, he puts it into stocks. And then the stock arrow, like, elevates him to one floor above the NIMBY guy. And he's like, ah, oh, these tents are unsightly.
Mm-hmm. We need to sweep the streets. Yes, terrible. Very relevant, even more so than when the episode first came out.
Yeah, super relevant. People just cannot seem to accept that the key is to provide housing and supports for other social concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, so you're going to sweep the street. Okay, well, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go when you take their tent away? I would just like to know.
Yeah, asking the right questions here.
Yeah, just curious about that. I don't know. Maybe I'm in the wrong here.
I don't think so.
So then we see that Birdie says she's going to be a plus one to Speckle at his, like, architecture mixer, but then she also goes as a plus one to Tuca's work mixer, just kind of showing like Birdie's stuckness.
Yes, agreed. Tuca tells Birdie what's going on in her love life.
Yeah, so Tuca's boyfriend is Figgy that she met at her new job. She is doing her job, you know, stupider and wilder, and no one has fired her. This is the first time she's ever lasted this long at a job, and she lasted long enough to go to a sexual harassment seminar where Figgy was the person supposed to provide the sexual harassment seminar, and then Tuca sexually harassed him, and now they're in a relationship. And she says, I learned nothing, Birdie, nothing.
Her delivery on that was so good. I learned nothing. Yeah, she's just like immediately making out with him while they talk about inappropriate workplace behavior. Yeah, very visceral.
And Birdie's like hot.
Yeah.
Now, obviously not like pro inappropriate workplace environments.
Go on.
Like, I don't know. I just
take from Kirsten.
Like, this is just such a weird choice for Tuca, I think.
Yes. I'm not totally sure what they're trying to say with this, where it's like, we met at the workplace sexual harassment seminar, which is like a very funny thing, obviously. But then also you're like, ugh.
Yeah, right. Like, it's like, well, what are you trying to say here? Because so much of season one and season two was Birdie struggling with inappropriate attention at work from Pastry Pete and her reckoning with that and her reckoning with, you know, the bad behavior of other men in her life and in her past. And then in season three, what we've got so far is Tuca is inappropriate with a coworker, but like, it's fine. They're in love.
Right.
It's just different. Very cognitively dissonant from the tone of the first two seasons. And maybe it has something to say about like men versus women's power in society or something like that. Or maybe it's supposed to make us confront double standards for ourselves if we're like, oh, but they're cute. Like,
right.
Oh, but it's based in, I don't know, but I'm not sure. What do you think the intention with this is?
Yeah, I don't know. I like that. I like that idea of like asking us to interrogate that a little bit, because I feel like we don't a lot of the time. And I think a lot of that is like a double standard of being like, yeah, but she came onto him. And so it's not as bad. And but yeah, no, I think that's a good point too. The point at the Pastry Pete thing, I think that's really compelling.
Right. And like, it even gets brought up in this episode, Pastry Pete. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I think that one of the things that came to me is just like, I wonder if it's supposed to be sort of signaling to us, maybe we're supposed to look at this relationship a bit like, oh, is that the right way to start a relationship? I wonder if it's just planting a seed. Maybe this is not the best thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I get maybe. I'm not sure.
It started on rocky foundations or I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that it's just it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
Because we don't really know where they're going to go from here.
That's right.
So Tuca not only gets promoted, she gets double promoted at this party because she's like, I keep doing it wilder and stupider. No one's fired me. And her boss is like, no, you're the best tour guide. You are so good. Like, do whatever you want to do, basically.
Mm-hmm. Tuca is very freaked out by this because she's like, wait, don't you want to see if I like drown any tourists or something? And they're like, fine, fine. Like, stop driving such a hard bargain.
Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, she says to Birdie, she's like, oh, you made the stupid mistake of believing in me. Like, very tough stuff from Tuca, but...
Yeah, and we know Tuca has struggles with, you know, taking responsibility and being trusted and feeling like enough. And so I feel like we're really... This episode sets her up for that as well.
Mm-hmm. Self-doubt.
Speckle is having some trouble being the supportive boyfriend that we know and love this episode because he literally says, oh, is it weird for you that Tuca and I are doing so great? But he's like, wait, you think I'm not doing great? Huh?
Yeah. No. In my notes, it just says, what is Speckle thinking? Because, yeah, what kind of a question is this? Like, is it weird for you that Tuca and I are doing great? Like, there's almost no way to hear that that doesn't come across as incredibly passive aggressive.
This is not the same man who has the anti-anxiety vacuum.
Right. I agree. Yeah, no, he's like, I have cool stuff happening. Tuca's thriving. That must be weird for you. It's like, what the fuck? Why'd you say that to me?
Yeah. Like, why would you say that? And he really does a bad job of being like, oh, it's okay.
He's like, I'm sorry that came out wrong. That's like, okay, but like, what did you actually mean? I don't know.
Yeah, like, what do you mean? What does it mean?
Yeah, what do you mean? Yeah, Birdie seems not to take it too personally. She's just like, yeah, everybody else is leveling up around me and I'm getting left behind.
Yeah, which is hard. Like that, and I feel like that's something that is so relatable.
Totally.
As like, especially as like a young millennial, I feel like it's feels super realistic just to see, like, see, oh, people are like buying houses, people are like living full lives, blah blah blah, and it's like, oh, what am I doing? Am I doing something wrong? Like, what's
and I feel like situation? One of the things that we both really loved about the show is how relatable so many of their problems are, and they're supposed to be ostensibly like exactly our age. So it just feels very real to be like, you're, you know, in your early 30s and you're like, everyone is leaving me behind. Like, oh God.
Yeah. It's like, oh, suddenly everyone's an adult. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Yeah. I'm just pretending over here.
Yeah. But she feels really stuck and she just wants to be like Chef Winter Garcia, whose treats are in every grocery store across Bird Town.
Yes. And Speckle has the nerve to be like, that pastry lady is really into her own face because her faces on every box and cuts to.
He has a picture of his own self in his home. He can shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I really loved the animation they have here in the scene of Birdie has like a little version of herself in her brain that's trying to pull the lever in her brain from rational thought because it's trying to switch to like panic fueled overcommitment. And he's like holding on to it like, no, don't do it.
Yeah. And it's like, nope, we will be doing the overcommitment. And she's like, oh, let me provide the tasty treats for your gala tomorrow. And Sparkle's like, oh, but I already arranged something. I don't know. But he's like, do the nepotism. Do the nepotism.
Yes, yes. And then Birdie tries to have a song number here, but it does not work. It gets cut off very abruptly because it's so bad.
It doesn't go great. But you know what? That's okay. Not everything goes great.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Important lesson.
So Birdie needs help now that she has this deadline of 12 hours to provide everything. So she hires the gentrifier that moved into the apartment building to work on her team. She doesn't want to hire her because Tyler wants to do more actual baking. And but she wants someone to do the business. It's an interesting...
Yeah, it's very bad. Birdie is so easily taken advantage of here, where Tyler's like, I thought you wanted to help elevate other women, but I didn't realize that you were trying to hold people back. And just immediately Birdie's like, ah, never mind. Okay, you're hired.
Literally. And I think so. IMDb doesn't have a voice actor listed for Tyler for this episode, but I am pretty sure that it's Heather Donahue who's in You're the Worst.
Okay.
And she plays like the kind of best friend who's like so shitty but so funny, and I'm pretty sure that's her voice.
Looks like nothing on the Tuca and Birdie wiki either.
Yeah, but I know that voice. And so if you haven't watched You're the Worst, I would highly recommend it. It's a FX 30-minute comedy about just like bad people, but then it turns into, much like BoJack, it turns into more of an exploration of like mental health and that kind of stuff. It's really good. It's a very good show. So I highly recommend.
Good, good. Speaking of people who are the worst, this girl is the worst. She's like, I need an extra hour for self-care at lunchtime. She also calls Birdie ageist.
And Birdie's like, oh, aren't we the same age? She's like, oh, ages too, I see. Mm-hmm. And just like really makes it seem like if Birdie doesn't hire her, she is like slamming the door behind her and not allowing any other women to succeed in that very like a white woman toxic feminism.
Very bad.
Which, side note, I saw the Eras Tour movie last night, the Taylor Swift tour movie, and she has a song called The Man where it's basically like, if I did all the same shit I do but I was a man, you'd love it but you hate it because I'm a woman, which is like, you know, fair enough, like entry-level feminism. But she has like, the set is like this office building and it's a bunch of like women like working, and then she's at the top in like the top office, and she has like all these women of color like literally on the bottom, and then she's just at the top. And I'm like, girl, have you heard of optics? Whoops. Do you understand what this sounds like?
Whoops.
Yeah, or looks like?
Not great.
But the movie was really good, and it was fun, except for when all of the like young girls basically created a mosh pit in front of the screen.
Yeah, I read somewhere someone was like, I can't believe this person didn't know that there's a Taylor Swift movie, and I didn't know that there was a Taylor Swift movie, but I'm glad you enjoyed it.
So then we go to Tuca taking a tour, and she's asking like, who's a Tuca tour virgin? And she goes, who is anyone an actual virgin? And a baby raises her hand, and she's like, nerd alert.
The baby has a single tear.
I laughed out loud when she called the baby a nerd.
So good. It really caught me off guard, even though I'd already seen it when I was watching it last night. I was like, yes.
It took me out. And she's like, oh, I'm gonna get fired. Like, I'm gonna get, she's basically just like talking about how she's gonna get fired and how she lets people down. But the boss like pulls up next to her and is like just piling on pressure on her, like, if you let me down, I'm ruined. And so she gives the tour to the baby and runs away on the sick duck boat.
Yes. Yeah. And the way that he's doing it, he's like trying to do it in a way that's saying how much he believes in her, but it's putting so much pressure on where he's being like, oh my God, when you find a basket like Tuca, you better put all your eggs in it. And like, I depend on you. I took out a huge loan and I just know you're doing great. And I staked my whole future on you. And she's just like, oh my God, I'm unreliable and no one should trust me.
Yeah. It's not a good way to get the most out of your employees.
Yeah, to be like, if you fail, I'm ruined.
Like, oh, you're the best ever. And if you don't succeed for me, my whole business and life will be over. Thanks.
Yep, that's correct.
Like, huh? That's not acceptable behavior.
Very much not. Also not acceptable, Tyler's behavior.
Yeah, and so Tyler is like doing a very bad job of putting icing on the pastries, but it doesn't even matter. She's
slapping it on.
She's not paying any attention. Yeah, it's like maybe more toaster strudel than Pop-Tart, but like same. And Brady's like, oh, what if you used like the icing map? And she's like, don't micromanage me.
Like burst into tears immediately. And then as soon as Brady's like, okay, she just like goes back to what she's doing, which is fine.
Yeah, she's the worst, but she's even worse because she didn't file the bird taxes. She was supposed to do that this morning. I don't know why you would give that responsibility to someone like Tyler, but Birdie's lost and it's okay. But the IRS come and confiscate all of the pastries. And they're saying like, oh, no, we called you because this woman with like a remarkably robot voice. calls to be like, you won a prize to be audited by the IRS. And so every time Brittany answers the phone and it says, oh, you've won a prize, she hangs up because obviously.
Like, I called you several times. She's like, at the end of it, she's like, you have won the prize of being audited by the IRS. Hello, hello. Why does everyone hang up on me?
Guys, I wonder so why, good. Lady. What a so weirdo. Good. And I just think that this is not how an audit would work. And I don't think they would eat all the tasty treats, but it is a cartoon about half human, half birds. So I guess I shouldn't be too finicky.
But yeah, now she has nothing to serve at Speckles Gala.
All of the treats are gone. You know, the stakes have never been higher. She doesn't have a lot of time. So she goes to the grocery store and she buys all of the Winter Garcia snacks. And as she bakes them, she just kind of switches it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she like updates them all, adds an extra little flavor thing, makes them look kind of cool. And then is with Tyler, she's like, you just like play this baking game.
She literally is like, here's an iPad, please stop. And Tuca comes in and is like, I see what's happening here. Get out of here. You suck. Like, mm-hmm. Birdie blinked twice if this lady sucks. She's like, okay, you call me. I suck.
Yeah, she just immediately like, sorry, like, I'm out of here. Yeah, so good.
Yeah, just there to totally ruin the day for no reason. So Tuca says she's just being Tuca. The sabotage is coming from inside the house. She skipped out on work. She's blowing off her boyfriend just like she did with her job. And she's going to crash the party later, even though she's not invited.
Yes.
Which I think she maybe was invited.
She definitely was. Like, they, I think she mentions, Birdie mentions it to Speckle. He's just like, yes, I'm glad she could come.
Yeah, literally.
But yeah. And then Birdie's like, I got to finish getting ready. And then she comes out in the fun hat that she bought earlier in the episode, which also absolutely killed me. I thought this was so adorable and so funny. Yeah, like earlier in the episode, too, because like, let's go spend the money that I made or that I'm going to make with my promotion. She's like, oh my God, can I buy a fun hat? And then she's wearing it at the gala.
Yeah, which I don't know if a gala is the right place to wear a fun hat, but I love it for Birdie's journey.
I love how happy she seems about the hat.
Right. And so they're at the gala and Chef Winter Garcia is also at the gala. She eats some of the snacks and Birdie sees her spit it out. So she thinks, oh, like, I did a bad job. Like, Winter Garcia hates me. It's over. You know, instant like anxiety things.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And she's like, oh, my God. Like, I thought when I met her, she would get to try my real baking ability. And this is not that.
And Speckle is like, again, really struggling with being a supportive boyfriend. Like, I don't understand what happened to him.
Me either. My notes just say, why does Speckle suck this week? Like, he says, like, it's so mean. He says, I'm sure if you had a gala, people would be interested in you. I guess he only wants to mingle with important, successful people.
Right? Like, Sir.
So rude.
I feel like we're going back to like early season one Speckle when I was just like hesitant about him, except for now he's doing all this shitty stuff.
Yes, he had like a perfect season two, and now we are really back to struggling. This is not good.
Yeah, I feel like there is, it feels like a big shift between season two and season three. And I don't know why. And maybe it's that, you know, they felt, oh, we got renewed. Like we can take some more swings or I don't know what it is, but I do feel like it's just a very different vibe. The characters, almost all of them feel really different than they did in season two.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I'm interested to see how it goes going forward. I can't remember. Yes. I've already forgotten if they keep this going or if Speckle improves in the next couple episodes.
Yeah, I genuinely don't remember like on a person to person level what's going to happen, but I remember really enjoying the whole season. So it's not a complaint. That. It's just a Speckle, what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like baffling behavior. Normally he's so good. And like, yeah, no, this is terrible. Like, I'm sure people would be interested in you if you had a gal.
Like, huh?
What?
Can you please reassure your girlfriend who's feeling really bad?
Yeah. If maybe he's only interested in important people. Successful like, people. So rude.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Your house got destroyed and also you made it ugly because you had too many choices. So how about knock it off?
Well, and then the way that he tries to correct it when she's like, what? And he's like, sorry, not if you had your own gala, when you have your own gala. It's like, no, that was not the problem, Speckle.
He's not getting it, but you know what? I have faith in him that he probably will start to get it.
Yes.
At some point. So Birdie's kind of just sitting at a table alone while Tuca's like dancing on another table, like smacking her ass and just like being, you know, the life of the party.
Yeah.
And Winter Garcia comes up to Birdie to talk to her about what she did with her pastries. And she really likes what she did. She really respects Birdie as a pastry chef. She knows that Birdie used to work with Pastry Pete. She knows that she started Sweet Beaks. She's eaten from Sweet Beaks. She knows that she really likes Birdie's work, which is just such a good moment from Birdie to get like an authority figure in her field, giving her the respect that she deserves.
Yeah, and she even says to her, like, you put so much of yourself into your work, and we know that that's true about her. So to have that recognized by someone she respects so much is important.
Yes, absolutely. And especially, like, from an older woman figure when Birdie has, like, struggled with her mom. Like, there's even a scene earlier in this episode where she's like, yes, Winter Garcia, be my mom.
Be my mom.
So it's nice for her to get that. And Winter Garcia is afraid that her company is expanding too fast, and she wants to hire Birdie to come up with ideas for pastries while she focuses on the business, but she needs Birdie to be all in, and so it would mean the end of Sweet Beaks.
Yes, and Birdie's like, oh, but I always wanted to do my own bakery, and she's like, yeah, and you did, and it didn't work out, and now you're going to do this. And I actually did really like this line where she says, sometimes as you get older, you don't see the doors opening. Don't get hemmed in by the dreams you had in your 20s. That's the advice I'd give myself at your age.
Yeah, she says, you might only be able to see the doors closing, but this is an open door right here. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which I do think is really great advice to receive, but she's like, think about it. So this is where the episode goes like even more off the rails, because all of the duck boats have gone crazy and infiltrated the party. They were coming to get their sick friend who is not sick anymore because it turns out he was seasick.
Yes. And the seagull who is Tuca's boss is like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Everyone knows that ducks are pack animals.
Which like, are they?
I don't think so.
Maybe like a little bit.
Yeah. I feel like you mostly see them in twos.
Or like if you're at like a duck pond, you'll see like a ton of them. Are. Which I less often now that I don't live next to it, but still pretty regularly. And so Tuca goes to hide under the table, and Birdie's also under there. And Birdie basically gives herself a pep talk that leveling up is scary, but it's not as scary as never trying. She's going to take the new job, and then she says that Tuca is so inspirational, like, and Tuca's like, yeah, I inspired you to give yourself a pep talk without even doing anything. So Tuca goes to the seagull, takes accountability, apologizes, and she's only going to get a single promotion now. She won't get double promoted. And Birdie accepts the new job and lists Sweet Beak as permanently closed on Yak.
Yeah. And she does have a very like content look on her face. So the epiphany itself was pretty good. I think where she's like, I could have screwed up and you're not going to prevent bad stuff by saying no to good stuff that comes your way. So it seems like a good step forward for our girl Birdie.
Yes. Love to see it. So happy for her to have a new opportunity in her field. And she seems really excited about it. Mm-hmm. We didn't mention. So Chef Winter Garcia is voiced by Justina Mikado, who is from Nothing I Know, but has been working for a long time. Oh, she's in 4 episodes of Superstore, 19 episodes of Jane the Virgin.
Right.
She's been working. She seems great. 6 episodes of Private Practice, which 6 episodes? I'm watching that right now. Oh, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Not at season 6.
Private Practice, nice.
Yeah, it's the Grey's Anatomy spinoff.
Yes, yes. I think you told me about it, and I had not realized that it was in any way related to Grey's Anatomy.
It is actually really infuriating because a lot of the episodes revolve around pro-choice versus anti-choice. And like the one doctor is so anti-choice because she's so Catholic and it's just wrong. Right. And it's like, can we just enough with the propaganda?
Yeah, no, I think the episode that you told me about was also abortion related.
Yeah, there's a lot of them are abortion related. So it's weird, especially considering Grey's Anatomy has turned into like such a pro-choice show in the wake of like everything that's going on in the States. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It's weird. I'm a hostage at this point, but I'll be texting Chappelle my thoughts on it as we go.
Good, good.
But yeah, that's Toucan Birdie season 3, episode 1. Lindsay, do you have any other thoughts on it?
No, I mean, I guess I said at the top, like, it's so nice to be back with these characters. I think I had, like, I feel like I did this with Toucan Birdie in general during the first 2 seasons where I would forget when we would take a break. I would forget how much they do such a good job of capturing the experience of being a woman in your 30s and capturing this beautiful relationship between Toucan and Birdie. And I think every time I kind of would forget about that and then come back and be so delighted by it. And that was the same feeling that I got this time. I was like, God, this is a good show. So if you can find it, do your best, try to find it, seek it out. Worth watching.
Yes, absolutely worth watching. And yeah, it's really such a shame that it's so hard to find. It's a shame that it was canceled. It's a shame that art, you know, catered to women tends not to get the same approval as very similar art, but catered towards men receives.
Something to think about.
Yeah. So we did it. Another episode. We will be back next week to talk about season 3, episode 2 of Touka and Birdie. Until then, Lindsay, is there anything you want to plug? Where can people find you?
Talking about Futurama over on the podcast of tomorrow, we have been talking about the new season that came out in the summer. And whenever you're listening to this, it's probably still relatively recent. So you can check that out.
Love that. I was like, I don't actually know what shows Lindsay's covering currently.
Talked about what we do in the shadows over the summer. You can find that if you want.
Yes, of course. Simpsons on a Now still there.
I think so.
Lindsay's out there.
Might be inaccessible.
Oh my God. It's like Touka and Birdie season 2 and 3. But if you want to hear more from me, you can listen to Mess Magnets every week where Sasha Joseph and I talk about pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics, all that fun stuff, as well as on the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed. There is some more coverage of F-Boy Island, and starting in November, it's going to be Love Island Games. So lots of Hot Dummies, lots of islands, so little time. Until then, you can leave us a 5-star rating and review. It really helps people to find the show, and it helps us to know, you know, what you like and what you don't like. If you have questions, you can tweet us at BojackHorsePod, or you can email us at BojackHorsePod@gmail.com. And we will see you next week.
Bye.